Hey, thanks for checking in for today's episode of the Lake Effect Podcast, where we're going to talk to Matt Faust and Travis Hartman, ODNR fisheries biologists at the Sandusky Fisheries Research Station. We're going to talk about managing Lake Erie's yellow perch and walleye populations. Where are we at? What's your title?
I'm the Lake Erie Fisheries Program Administrator. We're here at the Sandusky Fish Research Station on Lake Erie, and we're a Division of Wildlife Office that manages Lake Erie's fish populations. We obviously have a very popular sport fishery, angler fishery, a lot of fishing participation on Lake Erie. We have a charter fishery that takes people out that don't have their own boats. We have a lot of private fishermen that go out in their own boats, and we target walleye and yellow perch and work with all the agencies around the lake to manage them.
Are you the boss?
Yeah, I get to manage two offices. So we have the office here in Sandusky, and then we have a Central Basin office in Fairport, and I manage the two Lake Erie offices and report to the Columbus administration.
And this is your sidekick, Matt?
This is Matt Faust. He's one of the biologists here at the fisheries office in Sandusky.
So in the simplest terms, you guys are both fish biologists?
Correct.
Yes.
What does a fish biologist do?
Oh, we manage fish populations. We get to go out and sample fish. So we look at the adult fish in the lake. We do trawls to look at the young fish in the lake. And we also assess harvest. So we go out and take samples from fish being harvested. We manage both the commercial and the angler fishery. And we do a lot of data analysis and reports every winter.
And where did you grow up and how did you end up here?
Yeah, I grew up in Northwest Ohio and fishing in farm ponds and small streams. And I've had an interest in fish since I can remember. So that took me to Ohio State and got 2 degrees there. And then I was fortunate to get the job here.
Have you been here since then?
I have been. 2003 was when I got my position here and was a fish biologist like Matt until about 2017 or 16, and then got the position I currently have.
And Matt, what about you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in southern Wisconsin, so I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. But I grew up in Wisconsin, similar background as Travis, always kind of had an interest in fish because of fishing with my dad and grandpa. And we have a cabin in northern Wisconsin, so our summers were spent up there fishing, chasing frogs, things like that. And then 2 degrees from two University of Wisconsin schools, I'm working on my PhD at Michigan State University right now. And I've been here since April of 2014. And no plans to leave anytime soon.
That was going to be my next question. Are you looking for a better job or a bigger state with more money or something, or are you guys good for Ohio?
Yeah, personally, I really enjoy this position. Ever since high school, I knew I wanted to be on Lake Erie. So for me, moving to a new or a different position would mean leaving Lake Erie. And I'd like to stay here. So that's my current plan.
Yeah. And I'd never seen Lake Erie before I started, but it's an awesome job. We get a lot of variety in what we do in our day to day, week to week, month to month. I have no plans. It's a pretty cool position.
You have an office here and you have a lab here, or what kind of stuff, what do you do here? What happens here?
Yeah, we have a large research vessel that's 53 feet. That's what we trawl off of. We have a 30-foot vessel that we do the gill netting and other water sampling off of. And we have a wet lab for working fish up that we catch and bring back to the lab. We have a dry lab with microscopes for fish aging and diet samples and things like that. And we have a full staff of fish biologists, a research vessel operator, and seasonal technicians. So I like to say that every day and month is different here, but every year is the same. There's a very annual cycle to it.
Was there any particular topic that you went after or that you specialized in?
So personally for me, I was the most interested in the really traditional harvest assessment. So how do we estimate how many fish are harvested from an angler creel survey? How do we estimate harvested age based on the samples we take? And that's really important what we do here, because every year we're estimating how many fish from each age class are harvested. It's not just how many are harvested.
What's a creel survey?
So we go out and we count boats and we interview anglers, and we've done it in the same fashion since 1980. So all of Ohio's Lake Erie shorelines are surveyed every summer from April through October, and we do boat counts to estimate boat trips, and then we use catch rate information to estimate how many fish are harvested.
And do you actually talk to people?
We do.
Walking off the lake or off the riverbanks?
We have college students and in some cases retired employees, but seasonal employees that are counting the returning boats and then walking around and asking people, how long did you fish? Where did you fish? What did you catch? And if they're willing to let them measure fish, we even take a few lengths from the fish they harvest.
Are people ever suspicious when an ODNR person walks up and wants to talk?
They associate what we do with law enforcement, so they think they're getting interviewed by a game warden, and they'll pull their fishing license out. And of course, you know, we're not interested in seeing that. We just want to hear about what they did on the lake.
Did you do that in Wisconsin when you were in school? Did you do any creel surveys?
I did not do any creel surveys. No, my first job working with fish was looking at coho salmon in a little tributary to Lake Superior. So watching them as they were feeding in their little schools in a dry suit, trying not to freeze my butt off. Can I add something to Travis's
point
about the creel surveys? You look online and people are questioning how we manage the fishery. And if folks that are listening to this have been interviewed by one of our creel clerks, the information that they provide those people through those interviews is directly used in all of the models that we use to estimate perch and walleye abundance, and everything kind of trickles up to ultimately setting an annual harvest quota and our daily limits here in Ohio, or commercial quotas in Ontario, or for our trap net fisheries too. So don't take those interviews lightly. They're very important to us.
Do you guys regularly field questions throughout the year by anglers or other people about fish?
Yeah, we do. Matt actually has a good way to talk to anglers, because they'll call here to report a tag. So Matt's in charge of our tagging program and gets to interact with a lot of anglers that are reporting a tag.
And what do you mean reporting a tag?
So if
Matt,
we do a lot of, historically it was a lot of jaw tagging. So metal bands, like you might see if you're a duck or a goose hunter, used to jaw tag walleye with those. They're cheap. You could tag thousands in a given year. Now we've transitioned away from that to using electronic tags, so acoustic tags. We've tagged a lot of fish, both during the spring in the spawning period in the rivers or out on the reefs. We've worked with charter anglers to go out fishing and tag and release those fish. And those fish swim all over the lake, and a lot of them end up in someone's cooler. And there are $100 reward associated with the reporting and return of the walleye tags. Not every acoustically tagged fish has that $100 reward, but if you're filleting fish, you could be getting paid to go fishing if you find one of those tags and give me a call.
When you say an acoustic tag, how big is it and what does it do?
The tags vary in size depending on what size fish we're tagging. So for most walleye, they're about the size of like your pinky finger or like a tube of chapstick. If we're tagging perch or something smaller, that might be about half that size. And those tags allow us to track the fish's movement over the course of the tag's battery life. So for walleye, they can last as long as 10 years. And the fish swim around in the lake, the tag emits an acoustic signal, and then we have listening stations. There are hundreds of them throughout the lake. If listeners are on their smartphones, if you go to any search engine, search GLaTOS, G-L-A-T-O-S. The first website that will pop up as a website all about acoustic telemetry and the various tagging projects that we do.
GLaDOS, what does that stand for?
Great Lakes Acoustic Telemetry Observation System.
When it comes to walleye and yellow perch, some people seem to feel that the yellow perch is the perfect big water fishing opportunity, or even off the dock, for kids. Is there a difference between walleye fishing and yellow perch fishing as far as how amenable it is to children or maybe people that don't fish a lot?
You think about how we normally fish for perch, and it's putting a shiner on a hook, dropping it down to the bottom, and then you feel the bite, you set the hook, you reel it in. It is really simple fishing in its simplest form. With walleye, you know, if you're casting for them, you have to know how to cast and how to retrieve and feel the hit. Trolling can be easy because you're picking a rod up and reeling the fish in. But if you're a small kid, the rods are 8 feet. You know, there's a lot of resistance on the rod because the boat's moving. So I would say that you're right, that perch fishing is kind of the fishing best suited for kids. It's a lot of fun. You drop a shiner down and reel them in.
What are yellow perch? How big are they?
So yellow perch are in the perch family. It's both walleye and perch are in the perch family. Perch are smaller and shorter lived. So most perch that you would catch would be from 5 or 6 up to 12 or 13 inches. They make an awesome sandwich size when you fillet them. That's why they're so popular. They're very white, flaky, light tasting fish. They don't have any fishy taste to them at all, which makes them so popular. But they only live 8 to 10 years. So an old perch is 7, 8, or 9 years old. You know, when you get a big hatch, it's not in the lake very long. That's why we need constant hatches to have a lot of perch. So right now in the West, we have a lot of perch. Fishing is good. And in our 2 units of the Central Basin, we haven't had as good of hatches, and the population's smaller, and catch rates are lower.
And why is that? What are you guys doing wrong?
So I wish there was a magic switch I could flip every year that gave us a hatch, but you know, there's a couple critical periods. You need eggs laid by adults in the spring. You need those to hatch, and then most importantly, those hatched larvae need to survive. And what we believe is it's timing of food availability. So the little microscopic plankton they eat has to be available when they need to eat, and if it's not, they don't survive.
What about walleye?
So walleye have been very successful lately. We've had some of the best hatches we've seen in a long time over the last 6 years, and we have a high population right now. So if you like walleye fishing, it's as good as it's ever been. And if you like perch, you need to come to the Western Basin because that's where there's the most.
And how do you determine how many walleye are in the lake? How do you count them? Because they're swimming all over the place.
So Matt's a big part of that. He's probably the expert that you should hear the description from.
Matt, what do you got to say?
So when we're counting the walleye, it starts with our bottom trawl surveys.
What is that?
Bottom trawl is the data that goes into producing that hatch index that you were referring to earlier. So we take our large vessel out, we put a large net, a trawl net out, that sits on the bottom, and then we drive slowly in one direction for 10 minutes, bring that net in, and then count up all the baby walleye and yellow perch that are in that net. We do that over many sites and then combine that information with a similar survey in Ontario in August, and that's what we use for knowing how many walleye or perch to expect coming into the fishable population 2 years out. So when we do that in 2024, we can expect those fish to enter into the fishery in 2026. But then there's also the adults that are swimming around and being harvested by anglers and commercial fisheries. To estimate the population size for that, we take the creel information, we take the gillnet survey here in Ohio that I oversee. There's a gillnet survey in Ontario, Michigan. We take bits and pieces of data that each of the different 5 jurisdictions, or for walleye, 3 jurisdictions, Michigan, Ontario, and Ohio, and put that into a type of statistical model that takes the catch at age, and then that's what we use to estimate how many adult walleye or yellow perch in each of the different zones are there. And then from there, we pass it back to the fisheries managers, that's folks like Travis, for each of the jurisdictions, and they consider that information and ultimately set the total allowable catch in each year.
So when you trawl, you're counting yellow perch and walleye at the same time?
Yep, and other fish that we catch, so forage fish.
What's the craziest or oddest or most surprising thing you've personally ever seen come out of a net during a trawl survey?
We don't catch very many large fish because the boat is moving relatively slow, so the bigger fish can swim out of it. But a few years ago, we caught an adult lake sturgeon that was probably 4, 4.5, 5 feet long, and that was pretty cool to see. We knew that something was going on. We got it in, and we're very excited. Got some photos with it and got it back into the lake as quick as we could.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for talking to me today about yellow perch and walleye, and hopefully one day I will see you somewhere around the lake. Thanks for joining me today for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you have questions or want to learn more about Lake Effect, visit WGTE.org/lakeeffect. Until then, I'll see you somewhere around the lake. Thank you.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.